What did he say? He just told us to be prepared.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Dabo Swinney said, they're not much different than us. He was referring to the Syracuse football team. What do you make of that quote, Nostra Davidson?
Can I just say, first of all, that every time we play that Jameis Winston bite, it just cracks me up.
Well, you got to be prepared. Are you prepared? We're prepared?
Everybody because prepared? That's something totally I would do. I'd be like, oh, you know, like that person said, what did they say?
What was I?
Because I'm losing my mind.
What was I about to say? I think I just lost my train of thought.
Yeah.
Hi.
So,
how are you? I'm Jameis Winston.
That's I'm eating W's. No, so to your actual question, I mean, I agree. Like the Orange, just like Clemson, are a couple plays away from potentially being 5-1. Now, granted, you can't sit there and say that because they're not. I mean, that's the fact is they're 3-3, but
they're banged up.
Yeah, but Clemson has a lot of injuries. You know, with the way that Syracuse is playing, guys, I didn't feel good yesterday. I just didn't feel good. I was not optimistic. As we've gone through the week a little bit and I've had some more time to think about it, I'm feeling a little bit better and better about this matchup. I'm still worried. I'm still worried about this. If you had to ask me at this moment to predict a score, I think it has to be my first game where I really say that Syracuse loses this one.
Chew on this. Clemson has the ACC's top scoring defense, 12.2 points per game. Worst scoring offense, 21.2 points per game. I'll repeat that. The worst scoring offense. Mm. You know what that means? Syracuse is a little bit better in that category.
Yeah.
Chew on that for a couple minutes. But yeah, Dabo Swinney says Syracuse is not much different than us. Been 4 years since Cuse beat Clemson.
Seems forever ago, right?
Yeah, sure does. It's a conversation we're going to have today. Welcome to Exit 31, QSportsTalk.com and ESPN Radio. We'll get in the chat in just a second. We see everybody in there. Talk a bit more about ACC Media Day, right? Got to do that today. We're going to welcome in Mario Sacco with News Channel 9 at Sportscaster Wednesday. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. We got Jacob Payne lined up today. We got a sound check in a few minutes. And we do have some other rather important news. It was dropped yesterday, and rumors were out there, and it was confirmed. Notre Dame for J.J. Starling. The coaching staff won out. That was the gist of what he said when it came down to it. The coaching staff at Notre Dame and their sales pitch to recruit him to go play basketball there won out over the rest. And that's what he chose. So he left his backyard. And like many college students, he's choosing to leave home. Ultimately, that's what happened. Fact is, he's a damn good basketball player. We have a major college basketball program here. And he decided not to go there. So I'll just say it for everybody. Jim Boeheim can't recruit. There you go.
Oh, get out of here.
I'll give you a topic. Talk amongst yourselves.
Get out of here.
It's going to be, listen, there's going to be two sides to this conversation. It's going to go all over the place.
Oh,
you already know what's going to happen.
Get over it, though.
It's
going to
happen.
Have you seen the class of 2022 so far? I mean, yeah, okay, look, they had a couple of tough blows with guys decommitting.
They're done with the class of 2022. They're waiting out Malik Brown and then maybe transfer portal, but
right,
I think they're moving on.
I'm just saying, you say they can't recruit? I mean, the class of 2022, I know that you are not personally saying that.
Okay, thank you.
This is the vitriol that is coming out of my mouth is not directed towards you this time.
Have you seen it, though? You've seen it?
I've seen it.
It's in the cesspool of Twitter and social media.
I've seen
it's
there. But I'm sick of it.
It's there.
I'm sick of it.
It's there. You have to deal with that. Other than that, any lingering takeaways? I mean, we've got that news out there. We'll discuss that a little bit more in further detail. But ACC Media Day with Jim, Buddy, and Barama down there. I mean, it was crazy to me that name, image, likeness was discussed as much as it was. It seemed to be the predominant part of the conversation. Jim talking about the inequity, putting Barama on the spot. You know, Buddy's done very well. Buddy's also in a prime position to give some of that back. But it's true. You're going to have certain players going to be very top heavy on rosters of teams. Some guys will make a little scratch and other guys aren't going to make anything. And it's going to be scripted. Ultimately is what Jim said.
Yeah.
Planned out. It's a little bit more organic right now, but we brought it up yesterday. There's going to be some jealousy. There's going to be some pissed off players that they're not getting theirs while they're watching other guys get theirs and fatten their wallet, raising up on the right side, you know, that butt cheeks higher because that wallet's full in the back pocket, right?
Oh, yeah, it throws off my back. My sciatica is killing
me. That's
an
old school reference, too, by the way, because who carries cash in their wallet anymore? Everybody's got it in the
car. That's true. I got all the plastic in there.
It is.
Most of the cards I don't even use.
Just use the phone.
Yeah.
Just use the phone.
Oh, I've been getting into that. I have the Dunkin' app, the Subway app. You get rewards points, man. You get free stuff. Why not?
You don't even got to carry cards or cash anymore. As long as you got your phone, you're screwed for that week or so when the phone crap out and you got to get a new one.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, the fact of the matter is the inequity is a thing and it's going to continue to pose a problem as this evolves.
Right.
And you know, Jim had referenced the government getting involved in this. This breaks down so many different ways. It's a new challenge for coaches. It just is.
Yeah.
Very simply put, and that transfer portal. I mean, there's game changers right now. And it's not just one thing. It's multiple issues that are happening right now in sports. And we're over here going, I just want to see them win games. All the rest of the stuff you don't want to worry about, but you have to because it's part of it now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you have to, and you have to worry, does it affect, you know, some of these athletes' play because they're focused on other things besides just playing the game at this point. I mean, one of the great things about college sports has been because of the fact that there's no payment within it. The players are playing solely for the love of the game. Yeah, I mean, obviously some of them want to get to the next level. They want to play in the pros. But the passion that you see in college sports because guys are playing for national championships, they're not playing for contracts. I mean, that is one of the best parts about college sports. And now you're kind of taking that element away from it. And Jim Boeheim made a good point. I mean, if you're in the pros, you know, there's some discrepancies in salaries based on position. You know, I guess the quote-unquote star power that you bring to an organization, you get more money. You're playing one of the skilled positions, you know, like in football, for example, as opposed to the line. The fact is that if you're playing pro football, you're still getting paid and you're getting paid a handsome amount. And in college sports, you might see a guy like Buddy Boeheim raking in the dough. And then you got a walk-on on the team who gets nothing. So that's the discrepancy in college sports. That's different from the pros. You know, some are getting lots. In college, some are getting lots, and most are getting none.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big difference.
They're getting nil. Nada. Jim Boeheim mentioned the crossroads in college sports yesterday. We aired some audio from ACC Media Day. Let's air this one piece right now. This is what he said. This is Jim.
You know, obviously, we're at a crossroads in college athletics, and the initial moves in the recent past with Oklahoma and Texas, you know, it's just obviously college sports is crying out to figure out what the next move is. You know, I'm not going to sit here and think I know what the next move is, but it's there needs to be a major movement in college sports. It needs to get done sometime pretty soon. People have talked about it for a long time. And I'm not going to say that's some kind of separation from the NCAA. People talk about that. I don't know enough to figure that out. But certainly, I think for a long time, we've all known that we need to figure out there's different groups. There's 350 schools. The same things don't apply to all 350 schools. So how do you figure that out? I think there's people working on that. I hope there's people working on that. But I thought there were people working on the NIL, too. They never got anything done.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Name, image, likeness. Transfer portal. Owen pending conference realignment. The tangled web we weave in college athletics. And he's just trying to get, I don't know, 8 or 9 guys to play good basketball to win some games because he's going to have to deal with that a whole bunch. We're close, man, just under a couple of weeks now until SU basketball is underway. I can't wait to just talk about games.
Oh, yeah.
As much as you got to talk about these issues, I just want to talk about games, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that feels that way. But as I said just a couple of minutes ago, Spencer, it is part of it. Exit 31's on ESPN Radio. It's QSportsTalk.com if you want to join us in there. Free to subscribe with your Amazon Prime account, by the way. All right, as we open things up and go Nostra Davidson versus Rain Stradamus, let's switch to baseball real quick. Yankees' worst nightmare has now happened. It is Boston and Houston in the ALCS, and we have to root for Houston on this. Yankees fans have to root for Houston on this. Much to my chagrin. much to the delight of Red Sox fans. We alluded to this yesterday. I just wanted to say, and this applies to our "You're Killing Me" Smalls yesterday. We were looking for a 76-year-old old school manager, Tony La Russa, to save us from this, hoping the White Sox could get in there and then they move on to the World Series. Now, basically, our two biggest rivals, maybe Tampa's in there too, but they're playing for the chance to win it all. Thanks for nothing, Tony La Russa.
Thanks for nothing. I thought we were buds.
Thanks.
We had a moment nothing. On, we had a moment on Main Street in Cooperstown a couple years ago. A nice little chat. I thought we were buds, Tony. Come on. Come
on. And you didn't have a conversation? You didn't know he was going to be the White Sox manager again.
I told him, listen, man, in 3 years when you're the manager of the Chicago White Sox, you're going to have to bring down the Houston Astros and the ALDS. And if you don't, boy, I'm going to be disappointed in you, buddy.
So what do you do here? I mean, you got to root for Houston because you don't want Boston. But ultimately, you're going to need the National League to win this.
Yeah.
And by the way, you're getting a de facto game seven, a game five in the ALDS format. But in essence, that's what this is with the Dodgers and the Giants. Now, this is turning out to be an epic series. It's been a fun one to watch.
Yeah.
Baseball has been rather exciting. A couple of teams over 100 wins. You know, some great moments within this, seeing these two historic, initially New York-based teams, by the way, now on the left coast, the west coast, bringing some excitement. You've been staying up, checking out it while you're up, like, doing your newscast.
I was going to say, I'm at the television station through the entire game, so yeah.
So where are you with all this?
No, I knew this Giants-Dodgers series was going to be great. You're right, like the really cool connection to being old New York teams. It's been everything that you expected and everything that you wanted. And here's the thing is my dilemma now is going back to San Fran. It's like, I feel like the Giants are going to win, but boy, how tough is it going to be to put away the Dodgers in an elimination game?
It's not going to be easy.
It's not going to be easy. They have too many clutch hitters. They've been there. They've done that before. The Giants, you know, this Giants squad specifically has not. It's going to be tough, but it's great baseball, man.
You realize it's nerds beating nerds beating nerds beating nerds, baseball nerds. It's beyond baseball geeks now. That's more of an, believe it or not, baseball geeks is more of an old school saying. Now it's these baseball nerds. It feels to me like they have all been spawned out of the office of Tampa and then just spiderwebbed and spread out across the league, and they're in every office. Look at the Boston Red Sox.
Gross.
You know where he started out? With the team that they just beat to move on to the ALCS. Same thing can be said for the Dodgers and San Fran. I mean, it's remarkable. The model franchise in Major League Baseball, as far as baseball nerds, is Tampa. Crazy. All that stuff's underlying all this, these games on the field. And this is where we stand with sports. Wow. Amazing if you think about it, right?
It is amazing. And you know what? It's a good spot for baseball to be in. A lot of young talent. You know, if your team's other than the Yankees, you play baseball the right way.
QSportsTalk.com. I'm looking in there. I'm being told I can't go with Houston.
What's up, Kev?
How could I go with Boston?
Yeah, there's just no way.
How could I
there's
do that?
There's just no way.
Houston was a thing since they started cheating about 5 years ago. I've loathed Boston since the day I was born. Right. At least their sports teams, when you're born a Yankees fan, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
There's no turning back on that. You root for the Yankees or whoever's playing Boston.
Right.
It's the way it works, right or wrong.
No, correct. Absolutely correct. And here's the thing. Here's the thing is that if Houston wins, you have to hear about it from Houston fans on Twitter.
Gross.
If Boston wins, there are a few Boston fans scattered around Central New York. Although to me,
they're on staff
it
here.
Makes it boggles my mind because you're not in Massachusetts. Like unless you have some sort of family connection to Boston, you should not be rooting for Boston. It makes no sense. That's like at this point, if Canada and the United States are in a gold medal game and you root for Canada, it makes no sense. You're not in Massachusetts.
I suppose you might be right. All right, let's close this out. We got about 60 seconds left before we got to take our first break here on X31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. NHL opening night last night. Tampa, that was a dud after they got a chance in front of their fans to raise the banner for back-to-back Stanley Cups. Then the Kraken played their first game, but it was in Vegas, and their light show, their pregame show is remarkable. But here truly is, because I know my guy Spencer Davidson, my dog, the biggest news of the day for that guy. It pertains to the hat that he's wearing. If you can see it on the cameras, if you're with us at QSportsTalk.com, he's wearing a Rangers hat. And break the news.
Yeah, well, so opening night is tonight for the Rangers against the Capitals in Washington. Tomorrow night is their home opener against the Dallas Stars. And folks, you might be familiar with this name. Henrik Lundqvist, longtime Rangers goalie. He's going to have his number retired in January by the team. The King is returning to New York as an analyst for MSG Network. He is going to be, he takes off his skates, puts on the suit. He's the best dressed guy in the league, and he's going to be talking Rangers hockey. I read it's going to be somewhere around 20 games this year. He's going to be in studio for MSG Networks talking Rangers hockey. That guy is insightful. He knows the game. He's a New York Ranger through and through, and he absolutely, after his playing career, has to be involved with this franchise in some way. I am so excited to be able to see him in the studio. And let's be honest, he's eye candy, man. Good looking dude. He knows his stuff. It's going
to
be great.
Well, Spencer's not going to be able to stand up for a couple of minutes, and we'll take a quick break on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Over under 45.5, 13-point underdog. That's Syracuse football against Clemson, one of many subjects we'll tackle next with Mario Sacco on Sportscaster Wednesday. He's with News Channel 9. Sit tight.
Exit 31.
I'll tell you this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. I'll tell you that.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
I think Gardner Minshew actually ended up having to take that number two, because number two is where he ended up. That's why he's no longer there.
He moved on. His former coach prior to Urban Meyer and the dumpster fire that he is, but Doug Marrone, who obviously builds an SU in his background, but he's the one that had, in reference to Gardner Minshew, said he hoped he didn't poop the bed, and if he didn't, he would be capable as quarterback at one point for that team.
Yeah.
No longer an option.
No longer an option. I think he folded. I think he went number two before the season, and the rest is history. But we are talking to number one right now, Mario Sacco of News Channel 9, now the three-time defending Exit 31 Open champion. How about that? The fortunes have changed. The winds are blowing in opposite directions. The teacher has become the student. The student has become the teacher. Mario Sacco, welcome to the airwaves. Congratulations on your win over Mark Larson again today. Tell us a little bit about how it all went down.
Implosion.
I just have to play the nicest golf courses in Central New York to beat Mark is what the game plan is. We were out at Turning Stone at Shenandoah, and yeah, I played well on the back nine, and Mark kind of imploded down the stretch, putting in one in the water on 17, kind of sealed the deal for me.
It's now become a tradition where whenever Mario and Mark go out and play golf, I get a picture, and I get an update. Yeah, I get
selfies from the cart.
That's right. So at that point, Mario was down two, but you ended up being down four.
I was down two after we played 11. I was down four with four to play.
Wow.
And I won by two. So if that tells you how bad he imploded. I hit the ball pretty well. I think I parred throughout the last four. But
hey, man.
A win's a win. But
it is. You could. There were four holes left. You could have laid down. You could have just accepted defeat, and you went right at him. I mean, that's what champions do, Mario.
The reason I beat him the last three times, guys, I'm not kidding you. I maybe hit three drivers out of these last three times that I played. I hit my three wood off the tee the whole time, and I haven't gotten in trouble. The only reason.
Wow. So what have you learned? Hit the three wood from now on moving forward.
I hit the driver one time, and Marcus looked at me and said, "What are you doing? Put that back in your bag."
Yeah, put it back in the bag. So listen, let's talk some Syracuse football. Let's look ahead at this Clemson game for a minute here. You saw what Dino Babers said, Dabo Swinney said. He said, They're not much different than us. This is not the Clemson team that you're used to seeing, and it's been 4 years, and I think they are ripe for the picking. And Syracuse overall, listen, the questionable decisions of Dino Babers have probably led to this not being perhaps a 5-1 team. But what are we looking at on Friday?
What you're looking at is, I think, a low-scoring football game. You know, you throw out the South Carolina State game that Clemson had, and this is a football team only averaging about 14 points a game. DJ Uiagalelei has not been the five-star quarterback that they thought they were getting with him. Their offense has sputtered. And don't get me wrong, they still got guys on the offensive side of the football. I mean, Ross is a dynamic wide receiver to throw the football to. Defensively, though, they're still a very good defensive team. Guys, it's not like, you know, they've lost to bad teams. NC State's 4-1. That's one of their losses. And they lost to the national champ, or not national champs, excuse me, the team that's number one in the nation right now in Georgia. Might be national champs at the end of the year. But, you know, and that game was close, and it was the first game of the year. So it's not like they're losing to bad football teams right now. Clemson's still a very good team. It's just offensively, they're just not there right now. An offensive team that, you know, you would think could put up 40 points pretty easily. I think this game is going to be played more in the 20s.
Yeah, and you're looking at a team that's banged up, too, from defensive tackles. Was it Brian Brisset, Tyler Davis, Will Shipley? You could move down the list. I mean, they're stacked up with injuries.
We say that with them guys, though, but they still got four stars and five stars behind those guys that are NFL-type talent back behind them. What's going to be the key in this football game is we've seen the secondary kind of get exposed over the last couple of weeks for Syracuse.
Yep.
And the first couple of weeks, SU's relied on that with Garrett Williams and Deuce. And if it be, you know, Garrett got beat the one time on the AT Perry long touchdown pass. We saw the long 3rd-and-23 completion across the middle. And that was kind of more on the linebackers. Can Arku not dropping deep enough? But the secondary has gotten exposed. Sam Hartman threw for 333 yards last week, and can Syracuse limit that this week is the question. They're going to have to if they want to win this football game.
Mario Sack of News Channel 9 joining us here on Exit 31 ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. And Mario, after the game the other day, you know, Dino Babers trying to give some explanations over some of the questionable things that happened in the game against Wake Forest. Obviously, the major one was the delay of game on the two-point conversion attempt. Yeah. Are you frustrated with the seemingly lack of accountability with Dino, where not really shouldering the responsibility on himself, kind of blaming it on the players, not really knowing where, you know, what they were doing, not really hustling to the line? I mean, what's kind of your interpretation of the way that Dino's handled those questions, you know, following the game?
I'll first off say this, saying they're the head coach and they're there for a reason. I'm never one to question, you know, how Jim Boeheim coaches a basketball game, mm-hmm. how the decisions play calling Dino Babers makes, but it is our job to try and get those answers out of the coaches. And his answer of, you know, we took too long on the 2-point conversion and cats weren't in the right places. That kind of irks me a little bit, because it's your job to get them in the right place. You know, after you score a touchdown and you decide you want to go for two in the win, well, you got to get them lined up and get them in the right place. That's on your shoulders. And, you know, did it cost them the game? You know, you still went to overtime and had a chance to win a football game. But, you know, those are things that you're going to look back on, you know, going for two when you're up 27-26. You know, another questionable, should you went for two there, just kick the extra point and had, you know, Wake Forest chase you instead of, you know, trying to go up by three there. So a lot of question marks, but when it comes down to it, yeah, I mean, you got to put the blame on Coach Baber's shoulders for, you know, it seems to be happening more times than not through these first 5-6 weeks of the season.
Mario Sacco's with us from News Channel 9. It's ESPN Radio and Exit 31. We're QSportsTalk.com. Okay, listen, we're going to have plenty of time to keep discussing Syracuse and Clemson and this football team. Let's talk basketball, because it's right around the corner. And it's not just the men's team, by the way. And Jim and Buddy and Barama spoke to the press. But women, the women's coach, the new, I guess you could say, women's coach, Vaughn Reed, spoke to the media. And I just want to address in general, are you satisfied with the fact that the shadow of Coach Q is right there and he's really not addressing that? And I understand what he's trying to do to a point, and I understand why he's just trying to move forward and he's trying to say the right things. But you got to talk about it, because you're going to get asked those questions and people want to know. And you were there.
Yeah, I'm greatly frustrated in that whole situation. Just how kind of everything has gone down. And then, you know, us questioning him and giving the answer that, you know, whatever was brought to me, I brought to Coach Q. Well, Coach Q was the problem. So obviously that's not the person who you want to be giving the information to if he's the problem. I mean, the chain of command, whatever it was, and, you know, in the report, Wildhack addressed that the chain of command is now changing or whatever. Well, we're never going to see the light of day of, you know, what exactly detailed in that report came out. But, yeah, that has to frustrate you. It has to frustrate you that someone that was there by his side for 10 years and now he's leading the program. Still a lot of question marks to be answered if I'm a, you know, Syracuse faithful, but those are their choices. And now you move on and you hope the women's team has a good season. It's just, I just don't understand, you know, not getting answers when you try and ask direct questions is the frustrating part.
Yeah, absolutely. Mario Sacco of News Channel 9 joining us on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. You're listening to Exit 31. And Mario, on the men's side of things, ACC Media Day down in Charlotte yesterday, as Rain referenced, Jim Boeheim, Buddy Boeheim, and Barama Sidibe representing the Orange down there. What are some things that stood out to you about what they said? Obviously, Jim spoke heavily on NIL, Buddy saying the team is the most complete team that he's been a part of so far. You know, what are some things that kind of jumped out at you there?
Well, what's jumping out to me is about Barama's health. And everyone is going to rely this year. You know, you're looking at Buddy Boeheim to have that year that we saw what Buddy's capable of. But, you know, it can't just be centered around Buddy, and you need other guys. You need a Jesse Edwards to kind of maintain that center position. And it still scares me with Barama that, you know, behind Jesse Edwards, what do you have at that position? And Syracuse can't go through a season with not having, you know, some stability there. So that's what's, you know, jumping out at me. I know this team's probably going to be able to shoot the basketball, but it's those off nights when Buddy's not scoring you 25 a game. Can you win a basketball game? And who are you going to rely on is the question marks I have coming in.
I just am really glad that Mark imploded. You want to know why? Because this is going to make our interview with him at 3:50.
I don't think he's picking up. I don't think he's answering.
Listen, Spencer, I don't get any Penguins talk throughout this whole 15 minutes of interviews. You know, we just put one on.
All right, all right.
Two-time Stanley Cup champs.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? Go for it.
Thanks for giving us Brian Boyle.
No, you know what, Brian? What a great story he is. Even though he's not on the Rangers anymore, yeah. I wish him all the success. He's such a good teammate, a grinded out player. He always finds a way to get it done when it's needed. I mean, that's just such a great story. I loved seeing that. Even though, you know, I don't root for the Penguins, just seeing him do well is awesome. So, you know what? Take the next minute to just air out your excitement about the Penguins win last night, especially without Crosby, Malkin, and Gensel.
Crosby's a DB.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I looked at the lineup and I was like, who are half these guys on the Penguins team this year? I didn't even know Brian Boyle was on the roster until last night.
Yeah.
So I turned on the game. So, yeah, Penguins still have a lot of question marks. I mean, those guys you mentioned, they're not getting any younger. I mean, Crosby's still going to put up points. It's Malkin that scares me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Our goaltending's still a question mark with Tristan. So, I mean, that division's loaded. The Islanders are going to be great.
Yep.
So the Rangers are up and coming. It's going to be a grind once again. So
do I have to start asking?
To get to the playoffs.
Do I have to start asking Penguins questions every week now?
Yeah, you know what?
All right.
You look. Yeah, we have to deal with.
We can ask crunch questions next week.
Perfect. Yeah, I mean we have to deal with Red Sox and Cowboys fans here in the chat and on the phones. So I guess I can live with Penguins fans.
We're moving the kerfuffle to Mario's segment once UTQ's Comets Crunch gets started, and you two can just yell at each other for 10 minutes. It'll be awesome.
I can't believe Barry Belay ended up on waivers.
I know
that we got you know more time to talk on that, but that. Good for Seattle. That's a great pickup.
Yeah, and, let me tell you, I'm just glad that he won't be playing for the Crunch because he killed the Comets.
He is a beast, that's for sure.
Yeah, he did. I can't wait for that. All right, fellas, I appreciate the time once again.
We always appreciate the time. Goes both ways. Mario Sacco, News Channel 9, with us on Exit 31. It's ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Soundcheck in full next.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Listen to this. Mic check. Okay? Good. Here's your sports sound check.
Here's some sound directly from The women's basketball team, Coach Vaughn Reed, one and done, according to QSportsTalk.com, what I just read in there and one of the comments in the chat. Perhaps he falls on the sword for a year. Is it Felicia Leggett-Jack? You don't know. Does that seem like it was the best move for this team to make? Well, sure. But we addressed it with Mario Sacco a couple of minutes ago. I mean, there's Coach Q, and it's a big old dark cloud hanging over this program, and it is just in shambles. And then there was a suggestion, well, what if he takes him to the tournament? I don't know if I see that. Maybe if you got a crystal ball and you're seeing something work. A lot of people are going, really? No, I don't think so. This is going to be a rough year for the Syracuse women's basketball team. But let me bring the sound in real quick from Vaughn Reed. Give one of his answers to a question from Media Day a little bit earlier today.
My message is for me is just to try to keep it as simple as possible. You know, I focus on two things. I focus on the basketball aspect, which is going to take care of itself because we have really good players. And then just try to focus on making sure that our staff is taking care of these players. They committed to stay here at Syracuse University. And our goal every day is just to make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful on and off the court.
Answer the questions that you are asked about your time on this staff with Coach Q. Then you can move on. Because guess what's going to happen? You're going to keep getting asked those questions. If you deal with it and address it now, you can move on. Mm-hmm. Start to move on.
Mm-hmm. It becomes,
but you're not doing that.
No.
So you're going to keep getting asked the same questions. It's a vicious cycle and a circle, and it's not going to stop. And here we go. And it snows a lot in Central New York. The snowball effect. Here we go.
You like
want,
that.
You want these questions in 4 months?
Yep.
You're going
to
get them?
Yeah, you nip it in the bud. You address it right now. There's no reason to talk about it after now. And guess what? You can sit there and say, like, oh, I don't look back. I only look forward. You have to look back.
You have no choice.
This is a situation where you have to address this. You were a part of this regime. You have to address this. You have to talk about it in order to be able to move on. Sometimes things need to be aired out. They need to be discussed before you can start to look forward.
Spencer, that was heavy, right? It was heavy.
It was heavy.
All right, let's lighten it. Let's right. lighten the load a little bit here.
Okay.
Get the snowblower out. We'll clear some space. You know that heavy snow when you're shoveling?
Oh,
it's a little different than the puffy stuff.
My shoulders hurt just thinking about that.
Here we go. Let's lighten the mood a little bit. We'll bring you down. We'll bring you back up. This is also for the glue guy. Because, hey, hockey started yesterday. We just dealt with that conversation. The Penguins, Tampa, and all that. Well, there's a guy named Evgeny Malkin.
Gino.
Unreal.
Gino.
They call him Gino, right? Well, Keyshawn kind of botched his name yesterday because you know that the NHL is back on ESPN. I don't know if any of you heard this.
Chris, I'm going to botch these names, but that's okay. For the Penguins, both Sidney Crosby and Evgeny. Am I saying that right? How do you say his first name? Evgeny?
Oh, Evgeny.
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 You know, if they missed
Malkin,
the beginning of the season.
I think anyway.
If they missed the beginning of the season recovering from off-season surgeries, how likely will the Penguins core?
I'm stopping it. I mean, right?
Yeah.
Do you let him say hockey names anymore?
Look, you've got to be more prepared. I guess Keyshawn gets a little bit of a pass. We know he's a football guy. He does know about basketball, but we know him as a football guy, not as a hockey guy. But at the same time, if you're going to be speaking about hockey and you want to promote the fact that the NHL is back on ESPN, you got to be a little more prepared. And I know it's entertaining, but you know, somebody couldn't let him know beforehand how to pronounce the name. I mean, they knew clearly he had a sheet there that he was reading the name from. They knew he was going to bring that up. Nobody could have told him, or even if he couldn't pronounce it, say, just call him Gino.
But there's just, you get a mental block about certain names. There's certain, like Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's a tough one for me.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
But you know what? Let's go. We'll take some live sound from the truck. We got Wayne in the truck. Wayne, what's going on, my man? What do you got for us?
Hey, so you guys were hitting the whole John Gruden thing pretty hard yesterday. You're hitting Vaughn Reed pretty hard, and I completely agree with you. But do you know the one thing they both have in common is Giant Wildhack was, and somehow their upper management for both of them.
Ooh, you know, it's you bring
that's
up
a very good point,
Wayne. I'm going to give you 100% props for that statement. You're absolutely right, and we have addressed that at various different times. What was it the other day we were joking about that we needed a Wildhack press conference for?
Oh my God!
You remember it was last week.
Yeah,
Oh, it was the Block S with the club teams.
Oh, yeah.
did you notice he was on our airwaves with Orange Nation, and they had a conversation, but there's still a lot of stuff that, just like with Vaughn Reed and not addressing Coach Q, Wildhack hasn't exactly gotten in front of the story on a lot of these things. And any journalist and any media member in Central New York will tell you, you kind of get brushed off when you ask those questions. They have asked those questions, but not necessarily gotten the answers. Any further thoughts to that, Wayne, in the truck?
No, I just think it speaks loudly to his leadership abilities, and I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
That's a fair point.
The lack of answers leads to more questions, and it leads to these questions continuing to be answered or asked, over and over and over again. Wayne, gracias, man. Thank you so much. We appreciate the call. It's Soundcheck Exit 31, ESPN Radio. Let's move on. We had a little fun at the expense of Keyshawn Johnson, a laugh or two. I get not a laugh. There's no laugh. It's no laughing matter, Wildhack. You got to answer some of these questions. Like we were saying with Vaughn Reed, then we can move on and we will move on. Mm-hmm. It'll be there. You might revisit these situations in context depending on what happens, but nonetheless, at least it turns the volume down. It tones it down a little bit because we got a little something that we can work with. As Mario said, in some sense, it's your job, right? You've got to discuss these things. You've got to ask these questions and you want to get answers to them. But we're going to move to Buster, not Posey, only. Let's talk a little baseball. We were talking, I know, bear with us, QSportsTalk.com. Who is it? Agent Orange? Is it Agent Orange?
Yes. Yeah.
That's like, oh, yeah, the baseball.
He wants the baseball talk to stop.
Give me 30 seconds, and this is also so we can go, ha, as far as Paulie Scabilia is concerned on Orange Nation. So which job do you want? You've been hearing, hey, Aaron Boone, if they don't take him back on the Yankees as the manager, there's a job in San Diego. Could he possibly go there? Now, we don't know. I'm sure he takes the Yankees job if it's offered to him to remain after 4 years. Yeah. Buster says, well, the Yankees job is still a better job than the Padres. I would think so, obviously.
Yeah. I would disagree with you in this. If you're talking about the current rosters, I think, yeah, there's a lot of questions in both. But there is a broad expectation within the industry that the Yankees, after getting their payroll under $210 million this year and resetting, and with a new CBA coming up, there are folks with other teams who think the Yankees are going to be monsters in the free agent market this winter in a way that the Padres may not be. So that has to factor into the equation as well if you know that there's a chance your shortstop next year is going to be Corey Seager.
30 seconds, Spencer. What do you got?
I would love that.
What about Correa?
I would love the correct. See, that's obviously tough because of his involvement with the Astros,
and he'll want more money from the Yankees than any other team.
Yep, but Seager, I like that option.
Injured a lot.
I like that option.
5-tool, 26 years old, Correa. Can they get past this? You gotta like. He's got a sack on him, man.
Yeah,
he is unafraid.
Yeah,
he is one player I do not believe shrinks. In New York.
No.
He's not afraid to stand up for himself or his teammates.
No.
He will say what he thinks.
I think, you know, if they get him, it's one of those things. You hate him if he's not on your team. You'll love him if he's on your team.
Okay.
I would be okay with that. I do think the Yankees are going to be buyers in the free agent market. I do think Aaron Boone is going to end up being back. I think the key here is they need to give Aaron Boone a little bit longer leash to make his own decisions, his own gut decisions.
He needs autonomy.
Yeah, they got to stop being so in the binder.
He's got to have what Cora has in Boston.
Yeah.
That's what he has to have. Very interesting. The team that beat the Nerds is run by a nerd that used to run the team that lost. Crazy. You're Killing Me Smalls is next. And what I just said has a little something to do with it. It's Exit 31 ESPN Radio. We're at QSportsTalk.com. Let's chat with you there.
You're Killing Me Smalls. This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
You're Killing Me Smalls.
To satisfy the demand, here's Buddy Boeheim on Jim's excitement to coach Jimmy from ACC Media Day yesterday.
It's pretty awesome just playing with my brother. Having Jimmy here has been a lot of fun, and they're very similar, so it's really cool to see them interact together, and, you know, they have their funny moments, and it's just something we'll remember forever, and really just excited, and I know my mom's just as excited.
Interesting, right? Julie, man, She wears the pants.
She
in the
runs
family.
The show, man.
Let me tell you. But QSportsTalk.com. Listen, man, you interact with us. If you get with us on there, it's a nice way to consume ESPN Radio and Exit 31. Well, I mean, you know what? You want to hear basketball and football? We'll talk about that for sure. You can't totally ignore baseball, though. So who's going to start? Who's going to start? Is it going to be Jimmy? Is it going to be Benny? There you go. You want me to fire up the chat a little bit?
It's going to be Jimmy at the beginning of the season. And it's not because Jimmy is the coach's son. It's because he's got the experience.
And it's not one's better than the other. It's just, it is what it is, right?
Yeah.
It just is. Okay, does that give me a pass here in your Kill Me Small Sports Festivus or airing of the grievances, rolling of the eyes, going, you're killing me, Smalls, to just bring back one little baseball thing? Can I play this for you?
Do it.
Give me just a couple of seconds, Jessica Mendoza, because I can't root for the Red Sox, okay? Fortunately, she says Astros are going to beat the Red Sox. And if I have to live with that, I'm still rooting for the National League.
Absolutely, Astros. And this has been a team that since July, I'm like, they're going to the World Series. And the reason is, I mean, they can hit. They do all the things. They've got an unbelievable, I don't know if chip is the right word, but they're the team that everyone wants to hate. And they have been since they got caught cheating 3-4 years ago now. But when I look at this matchup in particular, I mean, both these teams absolutely rake. We've been talking about this. I mean, Max loves it when I talk about how much Boston can hit and slug. And they did that to his Yankees. But when you look at these two teams, it comes down to who can get the bullpen first. And the Astros, the way they've matched up, I mean, the Red Sox went 2-5 against them this year. They played nobody worse than they played the Houston Astros. And they just flat out, the Astros out-hit them. And when you look at a postseason 7-game series, you get into the weakest link for the Red Sox, which is their bullpen. That's what the Astros do best.
So not just here in Central New York, but across this great land of ours in America, can't we all just agree and look outward and say, we're going to root for Syracuse football? We're going to root for Syracuse basketball, and we're all going to root for those cheaters in Houston to lose after they knock off Boston.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
I love that.
What do you think?
I love that. And to Jessica's point, it bothers me when the Astros try to say that they have a chip on their shoulder and they got to prove the doubters wrong. You guys cheated. This isn't like you guys have to overcome, you know, some adversity. You cheated. That's why people hate you.
And the team.
Stop trying to act like it's a rallying point.
And the team that beat the nerds is run by a nerd that used to run the team that lost. That statement applies to all these baseball nerds and all the analytics offices and all these teams all over the league. And it all is spawned out of Tampa Bay. Just amazing. You know what?
You're killing me, Smalls.
We've got to get the game back to balance. That's all I have to say. And you know what? I'm starting to lean your way as we close out this segment. Right back to football. I think you might be onto something. Mario said it. Lower scoring. But maybe Syracuse surprises us. Been 4 years. Hey, remember, Orange Chuck said it. Why not Cuse?
Why not Cuse?
Yes, we have realistic expectations. We understand that. I've seen somebody at QSportsTalk.com say Syracuse loses by 3 touchdowns. But hey, all right, there's always the possibility. We've been in these games, and at some point, a decision has to be made at a crucial point during a Syracuse football game where that decision leads to a positive and a win.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So there we go. Let's take a quick break. We'll kerfuffle next. Exit 31 ESPN Radio, QSportsTalk.com.
Who's got Twitter beef? Bulletin board material. We've got another Donnybrook, an athletic brouhaha. Let's go toe-to-toe. It's the Exit 31 Kerfuffle.
A classic conundrum.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain and WKTV Sports Director Spencer Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
I'll back off a kerfuffle. Not a kerfuffle. That's not even what it was. You know what? Baseball nerds versus baseball nerds. We're scratching that off the list in the kerfuffle. We've had our say on that today.
Yeah.
Fair?
Well, yeah. We got to keep the people happy. The people don't want baseball right now.
All right. We'll talk about it again.
Yeah, we will.
But
right
now, we don't need to. We're going to move on to, well, Marcus Spears. And this has to do with the Gruden situation. Because there's a guy named Urban Meyer did we just become best friends? How grateful is Urban Meyer to John Gruden for being a horrible human being and just bumping his name right off of the trending topics? Man, what can you imagine? Urban Meyer would still be getting lambasted otherwise.
I think Urban Meyer sent John Gruden a gift basket.
He must have.
Assorted soaps.
But interesting, an interesting observation from Marcus Spears a little bit earlier today, and I don't know if you heard this, but he basically said it's telling that no owner spoke out about Gruden, and he's absolutely right. Let me give you his words.
I think it's very telling that after this report came out about John Gruden, that all of these owners didn't come out and say, that cannot be a part of the NFL. It's very telling to me that none of them have said anything about it, but they're going to keep putting their diversity and inclusion pamphlets out in the world. They're going to put in racism. It takes all of us. They're going to keep saying that because that's optics. It looks great to everybody when you see that. So stop. I don't want to talk about holding Roger Goodell accountable. It's just like the president. I tell people this all the time. You can be mad about the president being in office. Man, the president don't run nothing, man. We know that, but we keep talking like he does. We keep saying it like, oh, the figurehead is the – he's not.
Like it's he's the king. Other decisions. It's a face.
There's
like
a lot of other decisions being made by people that are actually in position to make those decisions. So, man, listen, yeah, I just – fellas, I can't continue to talk about diversity and inclusion in the NFL where that type of situation can go on and you have no one in the room to say, man, this wrong. John Gruden need to be out of here. But the reason why that did not happen is, one, because the people that he was sending those emails to, they obviously didn't have enough of a problem to say anything, and he felt comfortable enough sending it to them.
Right. And that's why I said
the culture.
Yes, the culture. And that's the thing. A social media post is an action. Mm-hmm. A little ceremony is an action. Mm-hmm. The action actually takes place after the fact and behind the scenes. And that's what needs to happen. Oh, it looks real good, but nothing's really getting done. It's lipstick on a pig.
Yep.
That's what it is. That's what he's calling out. Clearly, this type of thing has been going on, and none of them had a problem to say anything in response to John Gruden at that point in time or anybody else. Because if you think he's the only one, he's clearly not the only one. He's the one that got caught, the sacrificial lamb, if you will. They're investigating Daniel Snyder. I'm not excusing John Gruden, by the way. But they're looking at Washington and Daniel Snyder, and who is the one who loses his entire career for being a horrible human being, but it's him. There was nothing else in thousands and thousands upon thousands of emails that was questionable. There had to have been. I don't believe that was the only instance they thought to investigate beyond Daniel Snyder. It was Daniel Snyder, then Gruden, and nothing and nobody else. Ridiculous.
Yeah, the investigation is still ongoing.
Of course.
Correct? So, you know, they could find other things. I think maybe they discovered these emails. That became the story. But there's going to be more that comes out. But actions speak louder than words, Rain. You said it right. Marcus Spears said it right. Like, they can sit there and say and preach, you know, racism is unacceptable.
That might not be your narrative, but he is speaking for many whose narrative that is.
Right.
Or whose understanding of this situation that's what it is.
Right. And it's completely unacceptable. But he's not the only one in the game that thinks this.
No.
I mean, there is a culture, especially in sports. I shouldn't say especially in sports. In all of society, of the toxic masculinity and in unacceptance of people who are different, who have different interests, different preferences.
Ryan Nassib's brother, Carl Nassib, who guess what plays for the Raiders and is out. He took a personal day. If you don't think this situation hit on a personal human level, you're absolutely wrong. And if this didn't come out of that investigation of Washington, well, I guess Carl Nassib is none the wiser and didn't take a personal day today.
Yeah.
But it affected him on a level that he didn't feel like he could come in and function. Not just because he's a football player. In general, he needed to check his mentals. I hate to use the Marshawn Lynch thing, but you know what? Everybody needs a mental health day once in a while. It's a thing. It's legitimate. And I understand why he did. I might have had to do the same thing.
Well, you're the first and as of right now only active NFL player to have come out.
And he insulted everybody, by the way.
Yeah. And I mean, how much do you have to feel like you are on an island all alone at this moment when you are the only, you know, openly gay player in the NFL at this moment. And you discover that not only were these comments said, but they were said by the guy who's your current head coach, and that they had these homophobic views, and they spewed. I mean, look, you could sit there and say, oh, that's not really how I think. I can't allow myself to use some of those words. Like, I can't type those words out.
You're an African-American player in that locker room.
Yeah.
Are you sitting there thinking to yourself, I wonder what he's said or thought or typed about me?
Me, yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah.
And then he's sitting there, he's looking you in your eye, and you're supposed to have belief and faith and buy into your coach and his message. We are one. We are a team. Well, you're clearly not.
Yeah.
As he doesn't value you the same behind the scenes, right? That doesn't work.
There's just no way that, aside from the PR optics, there's no way that John Gruden could have kept this job, because there's no way the team plays for him anymore.
No. And the thing is Mark Davis, until it became impossible for him to keep this job, was looking for an avenue for him to keep this job.
Yeah.
That's telling as well to Marcus Spears' point. Exit 31, this is our kerfuffle, ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Let's move on. It is Kyrie versus the Nets. Alan Hahn, a little bit earlier on ESPN Radio, had this to say about Kyrie Irving.
Classic God complex. You're trying to do good in the world, that's great. But when you're trying to do it acting like you're above everyone else, and you want people to follow you with no regard, understanding like they're not in the same situation as you, I ask again, who are you trying to inspire? Because really what you're doing is turning off a lot of people. No one else can follow you down that path. So go down that path. Just don't come back.
That's exactly right. And that's what the Nets said. Listen, you got everybody in that organization together, Spencer. You've got Nash, the coach.
Yep.
You got your other two of your big three, Harden and KD, the rest of the roster. Everybody involved in what is going to happen on that basketball court in basically a week said, if you can't be a full 100% participant in this team, go elsewhere until you're ready to do that. We're going to move on without you. And here's the thing. Get the distraction out, because this is still a really good basketball team on paper. They should be able to make a run at it. Don't forget, KD and Harden are amongst the best basketball players in the world. Some people think that either one of them is the best basketball player in the world right now. They can do some damage this year. Oh, by the way, Ben Simmons is back in the 76ers, and they've got their own drama. Who's sitting pretty? The Knicks. Crazy. It's crazy how it has nothing to do with the players on these rosters and what's happening on the basketball court. It has to do with the extracurricular BS that's happening behind the scenes that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah. I mean, Kyrie just has to stop acting like he is
God, as he said.
Yeah, but it's like almost, yeah, yes. I mean, you stop acting like you are like ahead of your time and that you are this some great wise person.
He wants to be Kaepernick in some senses.
Right.
Because Kaepernick is larger than the game of football now. He is representative of something much bigger than the game. And I feel like Kyrie wants to be the person who, I'm the guy that led the charge to make this stance, except nobody's behind you on this.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the NBA is vaccinated because it's for the greater good of the team, of the game, of the country, etc. You know, by the way, if they're vaccinated, they can play and fans can go watch them.
Yeah.
That's part of this too.
Yeah.
Go.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at least Colin Kaepernick was standing for social justice, and you can agree or disagree with what he's done and the actions he's taken. I'm not here to discuss that, but the topic of conversation, he was trying to get a conversation going about social issues and the mistreatment of minorities. Kyrie Irving's talking about flat earth and he's an anti-vaccination, which the science proves him otherwise. It's just, to me, it's ridiculous how he's trying to lead the masses.
If your response is, I'm doing my own research, then share some of that. But he doesn't do that.
No.
He makes that statement, but there's nothing behind it.
No.
So I don't believe you.
Because all
I think you're just being a jerk and just saying it to say it because you feel like you're like some moral authority. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, these people that say that they do their research, I mean, they never share what the research is because the research proves them wrong. All the research that's been done.
He doesn't know more than a doctor. That's all I'll say. That's all. And neither do I, by the way.
And we've seen this in history before. Let's be honest. We've seen this in history that diseases that wiped out parts of the human population have been eradicated because of vaccines.
And here's the other thing, by the way. I'm going to be fair. Kyrie Irving has every right to not get vaccinated.
Yes.
However, Kyrie Irving then will not be allowed to be a member of the Brooklyn Nets and continue his career as an NBA basketball player. Let me give you one more piece of audio here in the kerfuffle on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. This is Brian Windhorst.
It's unlikely to me that this decision doesn't come with the support of Kevin Durant. Now, Sean Marks was obviously asked about that yesterday, and he made it clear that this was a decision that was a final choice by the owner, Joe Tsai, and himself, the general manager. But they had a path forward where they could have tried this with Kyrie, especially after the change to the law and that they would have allowed him to practice. That would have at least given them a chance to work together and not had him going through, you know, 10, 12 days at a time, depending on how the schedule went, where they couldn't put their hands on him. They couldn't see him together. I mean, it's not an ideal way to play, but, you know, if it was something that Durant and Harden said, we've got to do this, I think the Nets, based on the way they've made decisions in the past, would have. So to me, that's the big takeaway, because there's really been no bigger ally in the NBA over the last few years for Kyrie than Durant.
We have to take a break, but I'll tell you this. If Kevin Durant and James Harden weren't on that team, the Nets would probably try to make that work.
Mm-hmm.
You realize that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's crazy, but it's true. Or at least it's a distinct possibility. Let's stop right there. Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports is going to join us next. We'll get back on the SU football, Clemson football, and that game and that Friday Night Light spectacular that the Cuse might just win. I guess we're going to find out what he thinks. Mark Larson, Spectrum Sports next. Exit 31, ESPN Radio, and once again, QSportsTalk.com.
Exit 31.
What the hell you guys say politely? I want to take a tinkle. A tinkle? I want to take a tinkle. It came back. That's polite, right? Yeah. Tinkle is polite, yeah. I want to take a tinkle. It went back.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
You find the woods on the golf course, literally and metaphorically speaking. Is this three in a row that you have lost to Mario Sacco? Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports is on the phone here now. Accelerate Sports Complex phone line. What happened? He used the word imploded and implosion.
Speaking of complex, yeah. I the first six holes on the back nine, I was cruising. I was four over on my way to possibly low 40s. And then I took a personal call, which I shouldn't have done. And the wheels came off big time. I ended up, he made me putt about a 4-footer for bogey, which normally he'll take. But anyways, I'm not going to bring that up. But then the next hole, I hit one in the water when I just absolutely had no reason to putt. I think I need counseling. I mean, that game turns me into a wacko. You know, I'm throwing clubs all over. I'm looking like a total idiot. And I know it at the time, but, you know, like I guess it's better than breaking them. But I'm a mess. I think golf season needs to be over. It was fun while it lasted, but I don't know. That one took a lot out of me.
Well, they're looking for your food of the day at QSportsTalk.com in the chat, but we're going to hold off. We're going to make you wait till the end for that. Don't forget, we can't bury the lead. Spencer, so it appears to me Mark made some poor decisions on the golf course that led to him losing again to Mario Sacco, and I'm not trying to pour salt in the wounds, but the head coach of Syracuse football has made some poor decisions that has led to some questionable decisions that have led to some losses and not having the team prepared, say, for example, when you need to go for two, but you get a delay, a game penalty, and I'm not going to say egregious, but other mistakes that have led to losses. So, I mean, what do we do about this? Which play do we ask Mark about?
I mean the play that everybody's talking about is obviously the 2-point conversion and not being ready and getting a delay a game. So let's focus on the holding call, the field goal, the decision to decline. I mean, what would you have done in that situation?
I had no problem with that. This guy's the best kicker in the country. He's on the midseason All-America team on ESPN. So you're telling me that you think it's better to basically give them 3 points than to play the percentage that your defense is not going to give up a 3rd and 23. Like, if their defense wasn't good, if their defense was poor and giving up big play after big play, and you have them in a field goal situation, I'd say, yeah, take it. Give them the 3 points because our defense stinks. They're never going to stop them. But that's not the case. Like, I had no problem with that, and I still don't. Like, even looking back at it, what are the odds that they convert that? The odds of them converting that are probably twice as great as Skiba making that kick. So I have no problem with it. It didn't work out, but that's the way that goes. I mean, sometimes that happens. It's just like, they could have let him kick it, and Syracuse blocks it, and they recover and run it back for a touchdown. I mean, that could have happened too. So who knows? I don't have a problem with that one.
It's Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports. So that being said, listen, literally right now, Wake Forest is a better football team than Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
It's fact. A lower scoring game is expected this weekend for some pretty obvious reasons. But can Cuse win this game? Can Cuse beat Clemson for the first time in four years?
I've been thinking that. I've been trying to wrap my head around that and kind of be confident about that. And I want to say that they could, because I think Syracuse is playing well. But Clemson's had an extra week of rest. Last time out, they beat Boston College, who I think is probably one of the better teams in the league. Their defense is still Clemson defense. Their offense isn't Clemson, but their defense is still Clemson. So, I think it will be low scoring. I think probably under 20 could win this game, 17 maybe. But I just think, as well as Syracuse is playing, I just can't get them over the top of this one. I think Clemson kind of was finding itself before it went on the bye week, and now it's had an extra week, and Syracuse is on short rest after an overtime, emotionally exhausting game, and the one before that at Florida State. So I feel like Clemson's going to have enough to get it done up here, unfortunately.
You know, Mark, I did want to just say that you're a good man for picking up the phone, for answering these questions on a tough day for you. You're a guy that it doesn't matter whether you're win or lose. You answer the tough questions. You hold yourself accountable.
There you go.
So, which is, what you're going through on the golf course is not unusual. When I play hockey, if I'm not doing well, I mean, I turn into a psycho as well. The other day, I was not having a good game, and I threw my stick when I got on the bench and then realized I just threw a $200 stick, and if I break that, I'm in trouble. So, go on.
Throw pucks. I throw golf balls too. Balls are lots easier than clubs.
That's fair. I turn into like Happy Gilmore with just my frustration on the ice. But I would never take my skate off and stab somebody. But anyway, transitioning to basketball, and obviously the news yesterday with JJ Starling choosing not to go to Syracuse and going to Notre Dame. I just want to get your thoughts on that, because obviously you talked about that last night on Spectrum. So I just want to get your thoughts on missing out on JJ and him choosing to go to Notre Dame.
It's funny. I was talking to my girlfriend about, and I told her what was going on. JJ was picking between five schools, and I told her all five. And I said, and this was after he made his choice, I said, guess which one he picked? Notre Dame was the very last pick that she made. She picked all four of the other ones, even Northwestern, before she said Notre Dame. So, I don't know if they were that far down on my list, but when you're picking Notre Dame over Duke and Syracuse, yeah, it's a little bit of a head scratcher, and he must really like Indiana is what all I can think. You know, he's playing prep school about 40 minutes away, and maybe he just loves all the cornfields and the grain silos and the, I don't know, the easy living. There's no pressure there. You know, if he goes to Duke or Syracuse, he's got a little bit more pressure on him as this highly touted kid coming in, especially here. He's a hometown kid. He goes to Notre Dame and nobody's expecting anything. And I think the thing that was the most damning was how much he talked up head coach Mike Bray. And anybody that's met this guy, and I've been lucky enough to meet him and interview him a few times, he is one of the most upbeat and smiley and just jokester. It always seems to be up. And, Coach Boeheim obviously doesn't have that personality. Now, Coach Boeheim's a Hall of Famer, I don't know if Mike Bray is yet. So turning down a chance to play for a Hall of Famer for a guy who's in a good mood a lot of times, you know, he's a kid. I mean, kids make decisions like that. So I hope it works out for him. He seems like a good kid. He seems like he's a good family. So, you know, I wonder what kind of reception he's going to get when Notre Dame plays up here, though.
We're talking to Mark Larson with Spectrum Sports here on Exit 31 on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. To your point, he said the coaching staff won out. Notre Dame's coaching staff won out. That was a direct quote. Maybe he's a kid just wanted to leave home. And they were the last person or the last school, I think, that he took an official visit with, too. So there's some recency there as well. I mean, I'm just throwing some things out there. But ultimately, it's his life, and he gets to do what he wants. So Cuse moves on. You wait out Malik Brown, as I said earlier, and the transfer portal if you need something else in the class of 2022. Nothing else that you can do. Let's get to the food. Let's wrap up. You got a minute or so, and they're waiting for you at QSportsTalk.com in the chat. They want to hear it.
Wow. You know, I guess I wish I had something better. I feel like I've been talking about healthy food lately, but I'm going to do it again. And here's the thing. You know, we've got a few more days of grilling left. And if you haven't done this already, I guess everybody probably makes turkey burgers, but it's a very simple and kind of more healthier way to go about the grilling. And you put, you know, you chop up some onions, a little salt, pepper, a little Dijon mustard is kind of my secret. I get it from the girlfriend also to clue me in on that. But you mix that all together with the turkey and then make your patties and put it on the grill. And then you have a slice of tomato, a slice of onion, and some avocado. Put that on top and put it on a bed of greens. So you're not even eating the bun now. Now, if you want to put a little like barbecue sauce on it, I got no problem with that. But, you know, you got a few weeks maybe left of grill season. So try that. You're looking for something a little different than just the old burger, and my son gobbles it up, and so I guess if he likes it, it must be good because he doesn't eat much of it.
Hey, you know what? You can even throw some turkey bacon on that, so we'll stay on the healthier side.
Wow, that's a game changer.
Do they make cheese out of turkey? You can have turkey cheese on the bacon cheese burger, all turkey.
Oh, man. Somebody out there is going to do this. We got to have everybody report back in. Hey, variety is the spice of life. Mark Larson with us. Unfortunately, you got to go drown your sorrows. Sorry about your loss again today. Yeah. We appreciate you. Next week, Sportscaster Wednesday, 3:15. We'll talk to you again. As always, great time.
Thanks,
yep, that's Mark Larson. Oh, I just love talking to Mark. I don't know.
I got to say, the fact that he picked up, you know, I mean, it's like Giancarlo Stanton. You know, it doesn't matter what's going on. He's always there to answer the questions.
And you know who else is? Houston, we have Liftoff. I know they're going to be filling us up in the QSportsTalk.com chat in just a second. Jacob Payne's going to break down a little bit more SU football with us next on the Accelerate Sports Complex phone line here on ESPN Radio and Exit 31.
This is Exit 31 with Rain and Spencer on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com.
Well, no pain, no gain. We've got some gains. Jacob Payne on the phone lines with us today, and we're going to start off by talking about SU football. Obviously, the big matchup with Clemson this weekend. Disappointing loss to Wake Forest. We've addressed it. But one of the positives for Syracuse throughout this whole year has been Sean Tucker and leading the nation in all-purpose yards. And I just want you to talk a little bit about, you know, just how impressive he's been and, you know, what I mean, how much of a factor do you think he's going to be with a relatively banged up defense for Clemson coming in Friday?
He's been absolutely massive. I mean, to watch him rise from fifth or sixth on the depth chart going into the season last year to climbing the rankings for Heisman consideration this year, I mean, he is an absolute shooting star. He's been a phenom, and I don't think anybody saw this coming. I mean, he's well built, but he's not a big guy. You know, he's less than 6 feet tall and, you know, maybe 200 pounds. I'll have to check on that. But he's nothing close to a bruising back, but the guy is solid, and he's just so tough. I mean, I just love watching him play. You know, I was thinking about my favorite things about his running style, and he has this commitment to get north and south. He doesn't waste any time sidestepping and juking people. He makes a decision and he hits the cap. But when he does run into that first defender, he can knock a guy over. He can make a guy miss. He does a lot of things well. And, you know, it's going to be strength against strength playing this Clemson defense. You have, you know, I think the top rushing attack in the ACC going against one of the better rush defenses in Clemson. And that is going to be the ball game right there in the trenches. So it's going to be a huge game for him.
Are you part of the watch party with Tommy Gunn Hogan, brother, on Friday on QSportsTalk.com?
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. I think if I'm going to be a part of the watch party, I have to agree that I'm going to be off the clock because they are kind of monitoring that kind of thing these days. But I don't even care, man. I just love doing that. So if they have room for me, I would love to be there. So I hope so.
Yeah, get yourself in there. Over under on this is 45.5. We know Cuse is almost a 2-touchdown underdog. But do you see it being a lower scoring game? I mean, what would you advise somebody to take the over or the under on this?
Man, you know, I feel like Syracuse's games, they've played 6 games. I think they've hit the over about half the time with a couple of those overs coming more recently. So the way the Syracuse offense has been playing, you would think, yeah, there's going to be a lot of points scored. But the Clemson offense is a completely different story. I mean, they are struggling to find an identity. You know, Ui Ungalale is a far cry from Trevor Lawrence. I think they're starting to figure out that they better run the football. But, yeah, I mean, last week's – or their game 2 weeks ago, I don't remember the score. It was like 16-19, but it was one of the most boring games I think I've ever seen. So, yeah, they're really not going to light it up. I think you'll have 2 offenses that are committing to the run, which means a lot of time is going to come churning off that clock. So I'm not a betting man personally, but if I was, I would probably take the under here.
Jacob Payne of TK99's Gomez and Company talking with us here on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. You just mentioned, you know, the Clemson offense and the fact that they haven't been really very sharp this year. But does it concern you at all? Because I feel like this could be the game where Uiagalelei kind of goes off because we've seen the Orange struggle, especially in the secondary on deep passes. I mean, do you think that there is the chance that we could see this Clemson offense really figure it out, and especially in the passing game against the Syracuse defense? Because I got to imagine that's what they're going to target.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you look at the two teams and you have Syracuse who just had back-to-back heartbreaking losses, really going punch for punch with a couple of great teams and coming out on the losing end. And now you have to play Clemson on a short week compared to the Tigers, who are getting an extra week of rest. So I don't know. When you have a developing young quarterback, is it better to keep him going, try to get that momentum uninterrupted, especially coming off a big win that they had against Boston College, or does the extra rest help them? I don't know. We're going to have to see. But if Clemson is going to beat you at home, it's got to be on the shoulders of Ui Ungalale. You cannot let them run the ball. You're going to have to make him throw it. And if he beats you, he beats you. He has not shown that he's capable of winning the game through the air thus far, through 5 games this year. And if this is the week, this is the week, but you definitely can't let him beat you on the ground. Absolutely not.
I don't know if it's the nature of the Syracuse fan base, but, you know, and I look at QSportsTalk.com or you read stuff that you see online, and there's fear and trepidation that, you know, all things being said about this version of Clemson this year, is this the breakout game? Is this the coming out party for Uiagalelei? I mean, there's talent there. Dabo Swinney said as much. You're going to be disappointed if you're not betting on this guy. Ultimately, he's been struggling. Hey, you know, great golfers miss some putts, basically, but eventually you start making them. You turn things around. And is that what's going to happen? Are we going to see Clemson get right based on, hey, they've had that extra week off? Hey, we've had some, well, games decided by bad decisions coaching-wise by Dino Babers. Dabo Swinney said they're not much different than us. I mean, how does that break down, Jacob?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. You saw a couple of weeks ago at Tallahassee, Syracuse was the slump buster for Florida State. So it's definitely possible. I think they're like a 16-point favorite or something in that neighborhood, which I find to be slightly ridiculous. But, yeah, I mean, there is just too much talent on both sides of the ball for this team not to figure it out sooner or later. And, yeah, you know, if you look at this game against Wake Forest, there were a few controversial coaching decisions. I don't think I have a problem with all of them. But if Syracuse is going to win this game, they're going to have to start this week similar to how they did last week, jumping out to an early lead. I think Garrett Schrader and Sean Tucker leapt out to a 14-3 first quarter lead. And, you know, Sam Hartman in that Wake Forest Demon Deacon offense was able to battle back. But Clemson's offense isn't built like that. They're not built to come from behind. So if you can hit the ground running, get an early lead, force them to pass themselves out of a hole, I think you can beat Clemson this week.
Jacob Payne of TK99 joining us on QSportsTalk.com, ESPN Radio. And we got one more for you, about a minute left. Jacob, and my question is about Dino Babers. We've been asking this to numerous people today, but I mean, do you want to see a little bit more accountability from him, putting it on his shoulders? Because ultimately, you know, a lot of these decisions as the head coach fall on him. So I just want to get your thoughts on his response to the questions after the game the other day.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a head coach does. He will always be the first one to take responsibility. And I don't know that I've ever heard him place the blame at anyone else's feet. But if you liked your decision in the moment, and using the information that you had at the time, going back and still say, hey, I agree with this decision, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, everybody likes to look at that decision to accept the penalty, take a 3rd-and-13 and make it a 3rd-and-23. The way I look at it, if you just stop the team on 3rd-and-13, why wouldn't you think that you could stop them on 3rd-and-25? And you take it from fringe field goal range. Yeah, it's a tough kick, but certainly a makeable kick to no way, no chance for points there. I don't really have a problem with that decision. The biggest one to me was not being ready on that 2-point conversion. To me, that was inexplicable. And, you know, maybe, yeah, you don't have the personnel that you're used to having out there. And guys weren't ready to go, but it is your job as a coach to have everybody who straps on a helmet ready to go. So in that regard, I think that's definitely Dino's fault, and I don't think he would shy away from taking blame for that one.
Oh, and you got 4th-and-2. You got 354 total rushing yards in the game. You got Garrett Schrader and Sean Tucker, a Heisman candidate.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, at that point, you decide, I don't know if we can get 2 yards in the ground. I don't know that.
But
I digress.
That's tough. I would like to see more aggression on 4th downs. I'm with you guys on that one.
Jacob, last but not least, St. Louis being out, and I'm sorry about that. I know that's painful for the Payne family. Who are you guys rooting for now?
The Houston Astros, baby.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's take down the Red
this
Sox for now.
Revenge tour.
I'm with that 100%. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, as always, for the time. Jacob Payne with us here, Exit 31 ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. We're coming right back with the last thing we'll say today.
This is Exit 31. Here is Rain Stradamus and Nostra Davidson on ESPN Radio and QSportsTalk.com. Here's the last thing we'll say today.
Okay, so earlier today, there's like these little whispers that there was this tiny little tweak in injury with Tom Brady. And then he is, of course, participating tomorrow night against the Philadelphia Eagles with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Thursday Night Football, kicking off week 6 in the NFL. But then today, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So what's going on? What was wrong? Was there something wrong with him? I didn't
little
hear
thumb,
anything
thumb
about
injury.
It.
Thumb injury.
It was just a little bit sore.
Yeah, like thumb soreness or something, or he tweaked it, like he jammed it or whatever.
So he's good now?
I believe so. He's expected to be.
And all of a sudden, he's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, maybe he took some Advil arthritis or whatever. You know, he's 44.
Well, then, that tells me that all systems go and they're going to destroy Philadelphia. do you see Philadelphia winning this game? How do they possibly win this game?
You know, every time we've had a game this year where we've like, oh, it's going to be a blowout, it ends up being a pretty good game. So I don't know if this one ends up being a blowout. And to be honest, I've said this before, but Tampa hasn't blown me away this year. Sure, they're 4-1, but, you know, other than late in the Miami game, I don't think they've been completely dominant.
Okay, Tom had 411 yards, 5 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, but it was a close game for the first half and for some of the third quarter.
45-17.
It wasn't like that in the first half.
But it was 45-17 when it was all said and done.
When it was all said and done, but I'm just saying they've had flashes, but they haven't been like a dominant rollover opponent's team all year. I mean, you know what I mean? Like the game, like the two games before that, they barely scraped through.
Spencer, you're being a Jets fan that's still hating on him because
hate Tom Brady though.
Because he was the quarterback of New England.
No,
but he's in Tampa now.
I love Tom Brady now that he's no longer in New England and has broke Patriot fans' hearts. The guy is okay with me.
I think that somehow, some way, your judgment is clouded a little bit by the fact that he spent 20 years in the same division with the Patriots.
Yeah.
And you love your Jets.
No, just because you guys beat them twice in the Super Bowl, get off it.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's about all I got with the Giants right now. Hey, maybe Daniel Jones is back. Who knows? You're on the block with Brent Ax, top of the hour. Hang tight for that. It's ESPN Radio, Exit 31, QSportsTalk.com. And we won't see you again until Monday.